children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing some praises to our awesome God.
Jesus said that's the great commandment. What's a commandment? Well, it's a rule for us to obey.
Matthew 22:37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
soup. Esau saw the soup. Jacob made a meal and he had a deal. When Esau saw the soup, Esau saw the soup. Esau saw the soup. Jacob made a meal and he knew he had a deal. When Esau saw the soup.
Sure look hungry, just smell that lentil soup. It's got onions and gravy, and I know it'll taste real fine. It'll only cost your birthright, just sign on the dotted line.
Esau saw the soup. Esau saw the soup. Jacob made a meal, and he knew he had a deal. When Esau saw the soup. Esau saw the soup.
Up quite an appetite, stomping through the fields all day. Just drive up to my window, I've got fast food ready made. What good is a house and land that your birthright would supply? 'Cause if you don't get food in your belly real soon, you're probably going to die.
Esau saw the soup. Esau saw the soup. Jacob made a meal and you had a deal. When Esau saw the soup, Esau saw the soup. Esau saw the soup. Jacob made a meal and you had a deal. When Esau saw the soup.
Oh, please now, brother Jacob, I'll do anything you say. For that little bowl of soup, I'll gladly sign my life away. But quickly, quickly fill that bowl, 'cause if you don't, I may lose control.
Singing is such a great way to praise the Lord. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Now that the Master is buried in an honorable tomb, what are we going to do? We have no one to guide us.
Well, the first thing, I think, is to find a place to stay, a safe place.
A safe place?
Is it not altogether possible that the people will demand our death as followers of Jesus? Also, we need a place to stay, a place to eat, talk, plan, and sleep.
I suggest that each of us inquire among our friends. Certainly we can find some appropriate place.
Mary, the mother of Mark, has suggested
Peter, John, the tomb is empty. Someone has taken his body out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him.
We'll go to the tomb immediately. Come, John.
Yes.
The tomb is empty.
No, there's a man, a young man in shining garments, sitting on the stone at the entrance to the tomb.
Fear not, ye. For I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples and Peter that he is risen from the dead.
So they ran, both together, and John did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher.
The tomb is empty. Jesus is risen, just as he said he would. Truly, this is holy ground, sacred ground.
The stone, it's rolled away. Why, it looks... It is empty. John, come in. The tomb is empty.
Yes, I know. See... See, there are the linens in which he was wrapped, folded neatly and laid there.
Come, we must return to Jerusalem.
Jesus is gone. Even his body has disappeared. It was in there. Who is that? In there by the tomb.
Woman, why weepest thou?
Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him.
Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?
Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away.
Mary.
Master.
The upper chamber that you and your master have often used, it is available. You may use it.
There will be 11. No, 10. Thomas lives here in Jerusalem, so there will be only 10 of us.
Why did I do it? John, why? The master even told me I would. And I denied him 3 times, just as he said I would. Oh, how I wish I could live those moments over.
Once something is done, Peter, nothing can undo it.
Oh, if only Jesus were still here, I would do anything, anything to show him I love him. I would gladly, happily die for him. Oh, John, you should have seen the expression on his face when he turned, looked at me after I denied him. There wasn't an iota of censure or scolding in that look. Only sadness, sympathy, forgiveness, and love. Love for me.
Open up! We have glad tidings to tell you! Jesus is alive!
He's risen from the dead.
The young men in white garments told us.
They must have been angels.
Jesus is risen!
One of the angels told us to hurry and tell you, his disciples.
Well, we're going to tell our friends now. Then everyone, goodbye.
Farewell.
Well, it must be true. Peter and I saw the empty tomb.
Well, it's hard to say. Women are so excitable. Besides, is it possible that the Son of God would allow himself to be scorned, ridiculed, and killed? Such a disgraceful death as the cross, only to be resurrected again?
Don't you remember that once he did say something about being put to death and resurrected the third day? I didn't understand it then, and I don't now, but...
I think all hope has vanished. There's nothing ahead of us but despondency, grief, and despair.
And what did the psalmist David mean when he said... He will swallow up death in victory.
Well, I think the best thing for us to do is stay locked in this upper chamber, safe from the fate that our master suffered.
You're right. Everything seems vague and mysterious. I wish I had asked Jesus exactly what was going to happen. He would have told us.
I'm trying to remember just what he said. Oh, we should have listened more attentively.
Shh! Spies!
Open up! Open up, it is I.
Mary Magdalene. Coming.
Oh, I saw Jesus. I did see Jesus.
Someone brought his body back?
No, I saw Jesus. He was alive. He spoke to me.
You feel so badly about it, Mary, that almost anyone saying they are Jesus would fool you.
Peter, please believe me. It was Jesus. I saw the nail and spear holes. He bade me hurry here and tell you.
It must have been the master. We saw the empty tomb.
I hardly think so, John. Probably another of those rumors started by the temple priests and elders. Yet, I seem to remember now that he said something about...
And they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected, and be slain, and be raised the third day. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
My store squeezing cantaloupe, my friend Mariam.
Hi, Mr. Habib.
Your school report about people in your town. Have you finished it?
Nope, just one more question for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Why fruit?
Why fruit?
Yes, why do you sell fruit? Why is there Habib's fruit market?
Because I know something that many of my customers don't even know.
Really? Is it a secret?
Not if you want to be healthy and strong. You see, fruit is medicine.
Medicine?
Yes. When God created fruit and vegetable, he was really making medicine that is more powerful than anything you can find at drugstore. Take these oranges. They contain vitamin C, something everybody needs to fight cold and flu. And these blueberries, they help fight cancer. Everything you see here is powerful medicine designed by God to keep us healthy and strong.
I didn't know that. I thought that just tasted good.
You see how wise God is? He made the things that are good for us taste good too. He put wonderful flavor in each one. Watermelons, grapes, pomegranates, pineapple. Each is filled with good medicine and delicious flavor.
And mangoes?
Especially mangoes. So when I sell fruits and vegetables, I'm giving my customer powerful medicine from great physician himself.
Thank you, Mr. Habib. That's great to know. I'll take a big bag of those medicine mangoes over there. I want my mom and dad to be healthy, too.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
And girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Today's story is It's No Place to Hide. Johnny, Teddy, and Grant kept getting in Mother's way all morning long as she tried to get her housework done. Finally, Mother said, "Why don't you boys run outside to play? Before long, it will be time for me to fix lunch, and if you're good, I'll have a surprise for you." "I know what it is," Johnny shouted. "So do I," Teddy chimed in. "It's ice cream that you made in our new refrigerator." Mother smiled and shooed the boys outside, saying as she did so, "Keep an eye on Grant, won't you?" Grant was 5 years old, the baby of the family, and small for his age. Often, Johnny and Teddy wished he were older so that he could join in their games better. But today that didn't matter, for their cousin would soon arrive to visit the boys and stay for lunch. And before long, he had come, and what fun they had. And to top it all off, there was to be ice cream for lunch. "Not it for hide-and-seek," Teddy yelled. "Not it! Not it!" the older boy shouted quickly. So Grant was left to be it. After they decided where home base was to be, Grant hid his face and counted out loud. 1, 2, 3, 4, right up to 10. And then he started all over again, for Grant didn't go to school and couldn't count any further. After the older boys had plenty of time to hide, Grant started searching. Two of them sneaked in free, but Teddy was caught, so now Grant would have a turn to hide. "When it's my turn, I'm going to hide in the old icebox," he said to himself. "They will never think to look for me out here in the backyard where Daddy brought this icebox yesterday." No sooner said than done. Grant watched until the boys were out of sight, then he opened the door and crept in. The door gave a rather final and firm click behind him, and he felt a bit scared. It was so dark and quiet in there. He waited only a short time before he called to be let out. Then, finally, he put his cramped knees against the door and pushed, but it didn't open. It didn't move one bit. Meanwhile, the boys were found, and search as they would, they couldn't find Grant. "He's probably gone over to play with Keith," Teddy said. "He did that last time we played hide-and-seek." They were just starting to play on the swings when Mother called, "Lunch is ready, boys!" My, what a scramble for the bathroom there was to wash up for lunch. But when they heard Mother call, "Boys, where's Grant?" they all filed back into the kitchen. Mother hardly waited for an answer before she was running down the back steps, two or three at a time, straight for the old icebox that the junk man had not come for yet. The boys watched in amazement and horror as she swung the heavy door wide and lifted out poor Grant, who was very, very still. The boys thought he was dead, and Teddy started to cry, but he was cut short as Mother shouted, "Johnny, call Dr. Ross quickly, and then call the rescue squad and tell them what has happened. Hurry!" She sounded as if she were going to cry, too. As she talked, she laid Grant face down, head turned sideways on the lawn, bent over his body, and started to press on the sides of his chest. 1, 2, 3, 4. That was to help Grant get fresh, pure air into his lungs and start him breathing again. Grant had been in the old icebox so long that he had breathed up all the good air inside of it, and after all the good air was used up, he fell into a very deep sleep and stopped breathing. That's the way Mother had found him. If she didn't push on his chest like that to get the good air into his lungs again quickly, he might never again have awakened. With every push on his chest, Mother prayed, "Dear God, if it be thy will, please help the air to get into Grant's lungs and bloodstream before it is too late." It seemed that Dr. Ross arrived as soon as the rescue squad's inhalator truck, and it wasn't long before Grant opened his eyes and smiled weakly at Mother. They took him inside and put him in bed to rest. "You saved his life, Mrs. Vickers," Dr. Ross said to Mother, but she replied quietly, "No, Doctor, God did." Needless to say, the four boys didn't need to be told never, never to hide in an icebox. They could see that to get themselves into a place without proper air was far, far too dangerous.
You've heard today was first published as part of the Vacation Bible School program in the book God's World by the Review and Herald Publishing Association and the General Conference Sabbath School Department. If you are interested in any other products published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955. This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.